Tonight we're going to be in the book of Luke, chapter 10. Good evening, everyone in Facebook land, and all you that's gathered here tonight. It's good to see all of you. Thankful you've come out. At least I can finally say that again. It's good to see you all, but it's also good to have you with us over Facebook tonight. I know that some were planning on being here, but as they seen the storm clouds rolling in, they kindly chose to stay home and not get out and about. And so we understand that for sure. But I was just telling the church that we're going to be in the book of Luke tonight, the book of Luke, chapter 10. As I said, I'm going to do my best not to keep you long tonight, but something God laid on my heart, it began last week, and it kind of goes along with Sunday night's devotion that we did there. And it'll continue on. It's going to be a familiar passage of Scripture on the Good Samaritan. And probably John 3:16 and the parting of the Red Seas, this would probably be one that's as well known as many of the other accounts in the Bible. But as we look at it tonight, I think that we can see characteristics and precepts that we need to be applying right now in the world that we live in. But do we have any words of praise or testimony before we get going tonight? Yes, Sister Don. Amen. Amen. For those of you that are on Facebook, I was told you can't hear some of the praise reports. So Sister Donna gave praise to the Lord for the food pantry and that we've got five different kinds of meats. And we've never had that before. So to God be the glory for that. Anyone else tonight? Brother Kent was just talking about how blessed he is to be helping different children around the world, but also reminding us that there's many others that are there that need help. Anyone else tonight? Amen. Amen. New Rocco band director. To God be the glory for that. Praise report, my wife got her contract yesterday, so to God be the glory for that. And at least they are looking like they're going to try to have school next year. I don't know how they're planning on wanting to do it, but at least they're trying. That's what the governor said. So, anyone else tonight? Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. That's it. Amen. Amen. Sister Pam, just giving God the glory for where he's brought her son from and to. Give him praise for that. But mentioning the bad wreck, I was this young man's pastor and youth director for a while. His name's Cody Sweat, but he's graduated now, and he was living down in Georgia, living down in Jacksonville, Florida, but working in Augusta, Georgia. And day before yesterday, he was hit head-on by a drunk driver. and he's broken his legs, he's broken his hips, he's broken some of his ribs. They're going to have to do some surgery on his legs to reset it and all that, but praise God, he's alive, and he's able to eat, and he's still in a lot of pain, but his mama put a praise report on that they're in a trauma hospital, and he was supposed to have surgery today, but someone else came in with a bigger need, and she was thankful to be able to say that there was a greater need than her son at that time. But a good young man, very good, all-star athlete, you know. And now his life's going to be different for the rest of it. All right, tonight we're going to try to start out with just a little song of praise and uplifting. Page 546. And I'm going to, okay, yeah. You got it up there? You got it up there? All right, well, stand with me. Love lifted me. Y'all ought to know this one. Stand with me and jump in when you can, all right? When you can't, just hold on. All right. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to him I give, ever to him I'll cling. In his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best song. Faithful, loving service to him belong. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Souls in danger look above, Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows his will obey. He your Savior wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Amen. You may be seated. All right. Before we go through our prayer needs tonight, kindly just want to give praise reports. And number one, God is on the throne. He's in control. And everything that's going on around us, everything we're facing tonight, God has gone ahead of us and prepared us a way. It's not took him by chance or accident. Like Brother Paul said Sunday morning, nothing has ever caught God off guard. Never has there been a time where he has been caught flat-footed. So we give him the praise for that. Also, I do know that there's being some spikes in the COVID now as we're seeing things begin to pick up, and people getting out and about, but we're moving in, we're following along with the stages, and we're in that healing process right now, and we're coming closer and closer to the end of this. Also, I was thankful for Sunday. We had over 50 in the sanctuary Sunday, and then we had around 15 to 20 outside, and so we give God the praise for that. So very thankful to be back in church together. Also, be praying. It doesn't look like we're going to be able to do a traditional VBS this year, just with the different stipulations. You can't rotate classrooms. You can't have arts and crafts like we usually would, or we'd have to have colors for every child and paints for every child and different things like that. And so right now we're praying about how to do it. I believe there is a way that we can do it, maybe do a two-day one make it a little bit longer so we can do two lessons, one at the beginning, one at the end. But we'll see how that goes. We did order all the books, the teacher books, so that we're prepared for that. But we want to continue to pray for that. And also, thank God I'm able to wear a pair of cowboy boots tonight. I've not worn cowboy boots in a while. I went and bought me a new pair this weekend, and so I've been in them all day today so far, so it ain't put me on my back. We want to pray for the lost, and I am going to call out the lost names, just the first names tonight. God knows their last names, but I do want to call out the first names, as He has been faithful to allow us to appoint us over there to be prayer warriors on their behalf. And so we want to lift them up, and we want to pray for the backslidden. Also, let's pray for marriages. Now, like I said, I've talked with about three different couples over the past 2 weeks to do weddings, and then Brother Nathaniel is getting married in just a few days, the 20th, I believe it is, that he's going to be getting married. And then at the same time, one of the first things that got back to normal, and we've been doing it about a month now, and that's marriage counseling. The devil's fighting against marriages, and so we just want to lift them up and rebuke Satan from having any of them. He can't have them in Jesus' name. Pray for those that are depressed. There are a lot of people depressed right now, and I think some of it is due to the stay-at-home stuff. You know, we're not created to be isolated individuals. Some of us enjoy it at times, but enough's enough, and want to pray for our country. Also, we want to remember Nicholas Patrick. That's Misty and Ronnie Patrick's son that had to go down to St. Jude's with the leukemia. We want to continue to pray for him. They put a port into him. I think it was going to be for his treatments, and they were going to let him stay at the hotel. And he stayed at the hotel one night and got infected and had to go back home. So we want to continue to pray for them. Kelly Rose, we're thankful she come through her surgery well, but she's mending up. And Brother Scott and Sister Susan have the young'uns right now, and so we want to continue to lift them up. Gina Franks, just Lord knows they are some health issues, major health issues, and we want to continue to pray for her. Mary Snodgrass. Sheila Stanley, Brother Wayne is home. I talked to him just before service tonight. He said he's had a little bit of pain today, been wore out today, but good to be at the house. And he's got, I think, about 12 or 13 days that he gets to be home, and then he's going to have to go back up there for them to check him out. I want to continue to pray for Miss Faye Hill, Ruth Roten, Paul and Becky Hayes, Levi Lynn, Donnie Fields, Sister Rhonda Smith and Sister Priscilla, Sister Peggy DeBoard, Sister Moselle, Sister Ruth Bowen, Sister Patty Prevatt, Sister Helen Bowen, Sister Ruth Osbert, Sister Hazel Stanley, Sister Jeanette Carter, special prayer need there, Sister Peggy Stanley, and Miss Alma Bowen, Miss Lottie Johnson, Brother Jay and Sister Ruby. If you're not her, Brother Jay fell on Monday night, was in a lot of pain. The ambulance had to come and get him, but last time I heard anything was yesterday. I spoke with Miss, Judy. I spoke to Miss Judy, and the CT scan and the X-ray showed no breaks. And so we give God the glory for that. But they were still going to do an echocardiogram, and they were going to do an MRI to make sure with everything on that. Not heard about that today, but I tell you what, those, both him and Sister Ruby are tough, tough folks, and I want to continue to pray for them. Sister Phyllis and Brother Hoyt Bledsoe, last I talked with Sister Phyllis, I didn't get to see her Sunday, but she was having bad issues with her back. We want to continue to pray for her. Brother Kent Smith, Sister Liza Fletcher, Sister Henrietta Roach, Mr. Bobby and Sister June Jesse, Sister Margaret, Brother Chet Wheeler, Miss Wilma Jean Tomlinson, Wilma Williams, Linda Jackson, John and Carmine Shoup, Ryan Luke, that's the young boy down around Atlanta, one of Brother Otis's grandchildren's friend, young, but was diagnosed with cancer. We want to pray for them. And then we want to pray for Brother Danny and Sister Stephanie Harvey right now, just some special needs there. Also, continue to pray for our upcoming elections and pray for the businesses and all that's going on there. Continue to pray for our frontline workers, our EMTs, all those that are working. I did hear last week, praise God, out of 5,600 ballot health care workers, they were testing them for the COVID antibody, and only 40 of the 5,600 even showed that they had had the antibody in them. So less than 1% of those that's on the front lines in our region had it, and that's a big praise right there. That's a thank God for that. Any other prayer needs tonight? What was that first name? Rhonda. I talked to Sister Tabitha today, too, and she's just having a rough day. We want to continue to pray for her. Anyone else? Anyone else? And corona numbers, we've nationally we've rolled over 2 million now. We're at 2,064,562 was the numbers today. There had been 115,111 deaths, but this one really made me feel good. Last week, we were only around 500,000 that had been diagnosed as healed, recovered. And today, it was 800,939. So we're getting very close to that 1 million that's recovered from it. So if you look at those numbers, yes, we've lost as Americans right around 115,000. But God has been very good to us when we see that number of recovery. For our state right now, Virginia, we've had 52,171 have been confirmed as infected, and there's been 1,509 deaths there. So we want to continue to pray for those and pray for our country and lift up for their healing. Also, praise report, the Hope Building has the tin put on the new part, and also the vinyl has been put on it and looks very good.
It has a door
on it, and it just looks really good. Only thing that's left to be done is we got to get a switch for the lights on the inside of it. You got to go inside to cut the lights on. That ain't none of my doing. I know where them shelves is at. I'll put it that way. I know where they're at. I can point somebody to them if they need me to. Anything else tonight? Amen. We will. We're gonna talk a little bit about that tonight. I've been reading behind Tony Evans. I love Tony Evans. What a wonderful man of God he is. And I'm gonna reclose with one of his articles that he wrote this week, Lord willing. All right, at this time we do want to go into a mindset and a spiritual set of prayer. If you'd like to come to the altar, you can. Specifically tonight as we begin, we're going to be praying for the lost. We have two verses that we claim on Tuesday. One is Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer for them is that God, to give them salvation. And then we also claim 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow about his promises, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so as we call these names out, we call them out before the Lord, that he will call them unto salvation, knowing that no man can come unless he's called. We begin with Bodie and Braxton, Terry and Sherry, Melinda, Leonard, Miller, Leah, Bobby, Bill, Robert, Felicia, David, Bridget, JC, Aaron, Kenny and wife, Becky, Tim, Hunter, Rebecca and baby, Daniel, Evan, Rick, Terry, Chuck and his mothers and sister, Clarence, Caleb, Cody, Christopher and Jason, Shane, Irma Lee, William, Wilma, Richard, Charles, Carol and sister Gail, Rick, Diane, Brian, Darnett, Lynette, Tony, Kane, Terry, Gerald, Brady, Jeff, Austin, Taylor, Richie, Trista, Ashton, Kelly, Gabe, Brady, Sheridan, Bavina, Jordan, Austin, Sydney, Madison, Josh, Diane, Lavella, Thea, Michael, Bobby, Matt, Justin, Eric and Lita, Jeremy, Bonnie, Madeline, Brooke, Lita, Greg, Ron, Misty, Chad, Pauline, Grace and David, Joey, Mike, James and Michael, Rhonda, Kayla, Isaac, Michael, Jalen, Scott, Ashley, Lee, Henry, Bud, Barry, Barbara, Drayden, James, Dennis, Letitia, Florence, Mike and Mary Lou, Claudia, Rita, Thelma, BV, Larry and Jane, Cheyenne, John, Justin and Dina, Mickey, Lisa, Kenny and Jean, Devin, Teresa, Farrell, Glendon, Galen, Dwight, Ron, Kristen, Tim, Sam, Samuel, Rocky, Tina, Chastity, Addison, Laura, Robert, Fred, Steve, Daniel, Nathaniel, Mila, Damaris, Nathan, Gary, Melissa, Haley, Cooper, Will and Mickey, Neil and Polly, John, Elia, Leonard, Sarah, Glenn, Brenda, Danny, Lisa and daughter, Tom, Sandra, Robert, Keith, Frank, Sr., Bethany, Donald, Gerald, Michael, Richie, Sharon, Mario, and is there any others that we can add tonight? Any names? Maybe it's just that the fruit is not there and you want to list them. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, again, as we've already come to you in prayer, Lord, I just want to confess to you my sins and confess to you my inability to serve you, to live for you. And God, I'm thankful that you've called me in Christ, you have sealed me by the Holy Spirit, and that you hold on to me on a daily basis. And God, that our relationship, my relationship with you, is not bound on anything that I do or will or have done, but it's on the completed work of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. And God, I thank you tonight that you not only desire for us to pray, but Lord, you've commanded us to pray. You've said that we're to come boldly before your throne. And so tonight, without arrogancy or any pride or anything man-made, we come to you, simply taking you at your word, simply, Heavenly Father, Lord, trying to do what you've instructed us to do, and that is to bring all things to you. God, number one tonight, we do pray for the lost. We pray for those that don't know you, those that are nearest to hell's gate at any moment. They could plunge headlong. But God, we also pray for those that are backslidden tonight, those that are running from you. God, I pray for those marriages that the devil is trying to attack and to fight against. I pray for those marriages that are pending, that there are those that are looking ahead to marriage. And I just pray even right now, Lord, if it's not your will for them to be together, that you will give them wisdom and discernment and the strength to back out of it, Heavenly Father, Lord. God, I praise you tonight for the 800,000 that have recovered in America from the sickness, from the COVID. But also we pray for those 115 and more, God, that have lost their lives and the families, specifically the families, Lord, that are mourning tonight. And God, we pray for these others that have been called out, Miss Bright and Johns and Smith and Jeff, Heavenly Father, Lord. We lift them up to you. We pray, God, for this service tonight, that our hearts and our minds be open to receive your message. I pray for those that's with us by Facebook, God, that you be with them. Those that are traveling, Heavenly Father, Lord, I do pray for Cody tonight as he's in Jacksonville mending up. For Nathaniel Price, that young 16-year-old boy that's battling leukemia now. For Preacher Myers over at Beacon Light, Lord, that he has Hodgkin's lymphoma. God, I pray for him tonight and pray for healing there. God, it's good to be in your house tonight. It's good to be with your people. And Lord, I thank you. Now at this time, give us wisdom in your study. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. Are you in the book of Luke, chapter 10? If I had a title for tonight's message, it would be Choosing Christ in Care Over Physical Characteristics or Color. Choosing Christ in His Care Over Physical Characteristics or Color. Let's look right there in Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 25. Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempting him said, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he, meaning Jesus, said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Jesus said unto the lawyer, Thou hast answered right, this do, and you shall live. But he, the lawyer, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell upon the thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he was moved with compassion on him, and he went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in olive oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, the Samaritan departed, he took out 2 pence, or 2 denarii, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he, the lawyer, said, He that showeth mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do likewise. And may God add the blessing to his scriptures tonight. Now, this is a very familiar passage, but specifically those first 3 to 4 verses, up until about verse 29, from about 25 to 29, those are very familiar. In fact, you find them almost identically over in the other two, in Mark and Matthew, as well as Luke. Now, I don't know if it's the same occasion. I don't know if it's the same event that they're recording. But listen what Matthew says. Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, now the Sadducees had come asking him about the resurrection, and Christ has shut them down. And so then the Pharisees come, and they're going to take their shot at him. And they say, they gather together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him, and when it says lawyer, it means an expert in the law, meaning the law of Moses, the writings of Moses, that's what he has focused on his life, that he is renowned, honored, and looked up to because of the understanding that he has of the law. And it says, one of them, Matthew 22:35, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him, Jesus, a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment of the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend or hang all of the law and the prophets. So on those two passages, those two, love the Lord with all your being, and then love your neighbor as yourself. And then in Mark chapter 12, we almost see the exact same scripture again. Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. It says, and one of the scribes came up and heard him disputing with one another. And seeing that he answered them well, the scribe asked him, which commandment is the most important of all? And Jesus answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandments greater than these. And the scribe said to him, you're right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one and that there is none other beside him. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and all the strength and to love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And Jesus saw that he answered wisely and said, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And after that, no one dared to ask him any other questions. So we see that when probably, I don't think both of these were the exact same. I think the one over there in Matthew, when it ties in, it could have been the same here as in Luke. And then Mark, it seems to be a little bit different because there is no talk in the other ones about the sacrifices or anything like that. So, and that's just my own point of view. And you can believe they're all three different or they're all the same. But what we see is this, is that when Christ is asked this question, he does not vary in his response. Each one is recorded the exact, and that's the thing about the truth. When you tell the truth, it's easy to keep up with it because you just say what's there. You don't have to remember this or remember that. The truth is always the simplest way to go. But not only did Jesus just simply answer them and stay steady on his answer, but what he did was he took the law. He used the law of Moses because they were trying to trip him up with the law. They didn't think he knew all this. They didn't think he had this understanding that he had, and they thought they were wiser than him. Not much has changed today. Even us who do believe at times think that our ways, our plans are the best plans. But he goes all the way back. His response is identical, but they basically ask him, what is the greatest commandment of God? Out of all the things that God has placed on humanity, out of all the commandments, all the laws that he's put out there, and remember, they were 400 and something they had back then. They had like 400 and something. Out of all of them, what's the most important? And he goes in Matthew, notice it says, to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And then Mark and Luke, they kindly invert it a little bit. But they say the exact same thing. Instead of just the heart and soul and mind, Mark and Luke say to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. So he's saying with all your emotional being, all your physical being, all your spiritual being, and all of your physical strength. Every aspect of who you are. You've got the mind, which is intellect. You've got the soul, which is the spiritual or eternal. You've got the mind, which is your way of thinking, your knowledge, your understanding. And then you have strength, which is the physical aspect. So he's saying, with all of who you are, with every bit of who you are, you see, in that way, it's not different from anybody else, because we know some people are called to do more and some people are called to do different things. But if we give our all, then we're all on the same playing field, right? If we love him with all of who we are, then we're all on the same field. And then he says the second of these is Mark. Matthew says you should love your neighbor as yourself. Mark, you should love your neighbor as yourself. Luke, and thy neighbor as thyself. But Christ goes all the way back to specifically the law of Moses, the writings of Moses. He goes back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, picking up in verse 4, because he says, our God, our Lord is one Lord. And then he goes on in verse 5, he says, of Deuteronomy chapter 6, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And listen to what he says. Listen to the instructions of God through Moses. These words are to be given to you today, that I give to you today, are to be in your heart. Repeat them with your children. Talk about them when you're sitting around the house. Talk about them when you're walking down the road. Talk about them when you're laying down. And talk about them when you're getting up. Notice what is he saying? He's saying, let this truth, that you're to love God with all of who you are, it is to infiltrate every aspect of your life. It is to be the main topic of your life. Isn't that awesome? That the way we are to love God is to be the supreme topic of our life. And then if you go over Leviticus chapter 19, verse 17, it says, do not harbor hatred against your brother. Rebuke your neighbor directly, and you will not incur guilt because of him. Do not take revenge or bear a grudge against the members of your community, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. And remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, if you love God with all you are, if you love your neighbor as yourself, all of the law of God is hung on these commandments. Remember, he told the one, he says, you're close. You're very close. Now see, this is not how to be saved. The only way we can be saved is through Christ Jesus. But when we are saved, these are to be two things that trump everything else in our life. The way we love God and the way that we love others. Now, you can't help but look at our country right now. The death of Atiana Jefferson in Texas, George Floyd in Missouri, Ahmaud Arbery down in Glenn County, Georgia. That was only about 10 miles from where my children were born at. And then, as the writings went on, this one broke my heart. A 77-year-old retired police captain named David Dorn up in St. Louis, Missouri. He was watching out over a pawn shop, and he was shot. And I watched a video, and you could hear those gathered around him saying, you killed somebody's grandpa for a TV. You killed somebody's granddaddy for a TV. And then many other deaths and lootings going on. The Chicago police superintendent David Brown reported June 1st that there had been 48 shootings, 17 homicides, 699 arrests, and 132 police officers injured. And that's just in Chicago over the time. And no question that America is in troubled times. And right now, everything is revolving around race. It's revolving around race. But one of the things that we don't recognize in Scripture is that the Bible deals with racism. It is clear and evident. If you look in this passage that we just read, it is dealing with the issue of racism. You see, the Samaritan was hated by the Jew. It was almost like a dog to the Jew. Samaritans in the late 1600s or 600s BC. It was when Babylon had conquered the northern kingdom, and then Assyria conquered Babylon, and they allowed some to come back into Israel, but when they sent some back, some of the Jews married some of the Assyrians. And so when they came back, if you read in Nehemiah and Ezra, when they're rebuilding the temples, those Jews that had married Assyrians, they didn't let them work on the temple. They said, your hands are dirty. You're no good. You're not right. You're not a purebred. And so they just wrote them off. They saw them as half-breeds, unclean, unholy, unwanted. And so by the time that Jesus arrived on their scene, they had their own area, Samaria. It was in northern Israel, north of Jerusalem, They had their own ways of worshiping. They had their own practices, had their own religion. And basically, a good Jew, quote unquote, would have nothing to do with a Samaritan because they were just no good. They were less than human in their eyes. And the Samaritans really didn't care for the Jews either. If you look over in Luke chapter 9, beginning of verse 51, listen what it says. And when the days drew near for him to be taken, talking about Jesus, and he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him, meaning his disciples, who went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make preparations for him to get ready when he came through. But listen, but the people did not receive them because his face was set toward Jerusalem. You see, it was vice versa. The Samaritans didn't like the Jews, and the Jews didn't like the Samaritans. You see, the racism is clearly shown when we look over in John chapter 4. We all know the story of the woman at the well, amen? But listen, John chapter 4, verses 3 and 5. He left Judea and departed into Galilee. And he said he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave his son Joseph. This would have been this is a time going through, if he was going up to Jerusalem and you had the choice to go through Samaria or to go around Samaria, the proper religious and so-called godly Jew would have chosen to go the long way around instead of going through because of the way they disdained the Samaritans. Almost to the fact that a good Jew didn't even want Samaritan dirt, dust, to land on him. And he would have chose to go the other way around. It was worth the extra distance not to have to interact with a Samaritan. That was the hatred. That's how much they disliked each other. And it was over race is what it was. It's that you're not a purebred. You're not what we are, basically. And because you're not what we are, then you're less than us. And you can really see it in the woman at the well's response to Jesus. She was shocked that Christ Jesus would even look at her, much less talk to her. John chapter 4, verse 9. The Samaritan woman said to Jesus, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Notice, she said a good, quote unquote, godly Jew would not even drink out of a cup that a Samaritan had touched. Right? That's what she said. Much less ask me to do you a favor. We're beneath you. We're beneath what you do. But not only does Christ Jesus talk to her, but you remember, he tells her, hey, if you knew who was here talking to you, you would be asking me for the drink of water instead of vice versa. And then she says, go get your husband. She says, I ain't got a husband. He says, you've said rightly. You've had five husbands, and the one that you live with now ain't even your husband. And she said, I perceive that you are a prophet. You remember, this is where Jesus said, because remember, they had their own religion. And he told her, he said, listen, you don't even know what you worship. He said, but there's coming a day where those that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. And the Lord is looking for it. And so they begin to talk. And out of love, he wins her over. And she, the Samaritan, receives a Jew as her Savior. And then she runs around the town. And what she said, remember what she said? She said, come see a man. Come see a man that's told me all that I've ever done. But yet he still loves me. And you see, Jesus just didn't build a relationship with her. And this is also, when you think about it now, you've got to think, the hatred that's there. Remember he said, she said, normally you wouldn't even drink out of a cup that I've touched. But not only did Jesus deal with her and build a relationship with her, but in John chapter 4, verses 39 through 43, it says, many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them. Look, a Samaritan is asking a Jew, stay here. And so he stayed with there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. And they said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you have said that we believe, for we have heard it ourselves. And we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. And after 2 days, he departed from Galilee. Now, listen. It seems that Christ Jesus went against cultural norms, didn't he? He said, I'm not going to let tradition, I'm not going to let culture, I'm not going to let prejudices and racism keep me from loving the ones that I've been called to love. Amen? This is what he says. And you know what? He went in there and he stayed 2 days. Where later on, if you just jump one chapter over, it said they didn't even want him to stay there. But what did he do? He went in there and he loved them. And his disciples is even there with him. Can you imagine their mind? Now, they're good Jews. They've been brought up, these boys, even though they're blue-collar workers, they've been brought up. You remember, even as children, they had to learn the book of the laws of Moses and all that. Even if they were blue-collar, they knew these things. And now Jesus is going, you know what he was doing? He was breaking down their cultural barriers. He was breaking them down. He said, hey, if you're going to follow me, then you've got to be willing to put away cultural prejudices. And they did. That's awesome, isn't it? That's what's great about the Bible. When you sit down and you study it, he deals with everything. Everything. There's nothing the Lord deals with. But another occasion, Jesus is walking between Galilee and Samaria on his way to Jerusalem over in Luke chapter 17. And as he's walking, he comes into a city and it says that he meets what? Ten lepers. Now remember, the leper is an outcast. Unclean, can't even be inside the city. Has to sit outside the city and beg for alms. And basically, what happens is the cancerous sores, canker-type sores, come up over your body and they eat your flesh. They'll eat away your ear. They'll eat away your nose. They eat away all that stuff. And basically, you're just waiting to die. And spiritually, it's a picture of sin. We all have that sickness. We all have that cancer. And that cancerous sin, which sooner or later, it's going to take us away and it's going to kill us all. But they come to Jesus. And listen, it says in Luke 17, verses 12 through 19, it says, and as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance. Why? Because that was the law. And lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Only one of the 10 went back and gave him praise. Now he was what? A Samaritan. He was the half-breed. He was the less than human. And Jesus answered him, were there not 10? Where are the 9? Was not one found to return and give praise except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Once again, we see Jesus confronting and tearing down society's customs and prejudices. He says, hey, you've done what's supposed to be done. And the so-called religious ones, the so-called best breed, they're just going through the motions. I've healed them. I've blessed them just as much as I've blessed you. And they're the ones that are the called. They're the ones that I was given the law to. But what did they do? They run away. So let's jump back now to the parable. There in Luke chapter 10, verses 29 through 37. But wanting to justify himself, remember this is the expert of the law, wanting to justify himself in verse 29, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And Jesus took up the question and said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell in the hand of the robbers. They stripped him, beat him, and fled, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that road, and when he saw the man, the priest passed by on the other side. And the same way, a Levite, when he arrived at the place and saw the man, he also passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, the half-breed, on his journey came upon the man, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went over to the man, bandaged his wounds, pour on olive oil and wine, then put him on his own animal and brought the man to an inn and took care of him. And the next day the Samaritan took 2 denarii, gave him to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back I will reimburse you for whatever extra you spend.' And Jesus said, 'Now which of these three do you think proved to be the neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?' 'The one who showed mercy,' said the expert in the law. Christ Jesus said to him, 'Go and do the same.'" Now, we do not know whether this expert of the law was a Sadducee or a Pharisee. But we can safely say, because he was an expert in the law, that he was a respected religious leader among the Jews. And without a doubt, he was honored and people looked up to him. So as a Jew, he would have viewed the Samaritans as valueless and of no good, less than human. And how would he have viewed the priest? That's God's man. You know, they don't get much better than him. They're the example. They're the go-between between God and man. What about the Levite? The Levite is the worker in the temple. God chose them so much that he didn't even give them land. He said, "The temple is yours to work with." Those are the pinnacle of good. Those are the pinnacle of the Jewish religion. They're the highest of the high of Hebrews. They're in the best. But yet both of them, we don't know our reason why. And we know that there's some legal issues and not touching the dead or anything like that. But see, they were letting the letter of the law get in front of the heart of the law. And so see, it wasn't just the fact that someone else other than the priest or the Levite loved their neighbor. It wasn't just that fact. It was the fact that a Samaritan, the half-breed, the one that you hate culturally, the one that tradition has told you is less than any other, that very one is closer to God by their lifestyle than the very ones that the world would say is. You see, this could have very really happened. We know it was a parable, but that man had to admit that it was possible for a Samaritan, for what cultural and race they looked down upon, he had to say they could be closer to doing what God wants than the very ones that I'm looking up to. You see, he had the truth of Christ, the truth of the gospel, tore down the barrier. If he was going to really receive it, if he was really going to take it, then the truth of the gospel had to tear down the barrier that was there. The expert in the law had to admit it. Despite what tradition says, despite culture, no matter how he felt, they were no benefit or any good to that man nor to God in that moment. And the reverse, the very one that you perceive to be valueless, the very one that you perceive to be half-breed, They are the embodiment of these two commandments, to love God and to love others as yourself. He was forced to put his personal preferences and prejudice aside because they could not abide in his life at that moment. Now, did he take this and go on with it? Probably not. But in that moment, the reality of God's truth. Luke chapter 10, verse 27. And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as yourself. This is going to make sense when I read what Dr. Evans wrote. The gospel and the truth of Jesus Christ tears down any barriers that would separate or divide us as human beings. The Apostle Paul declared this in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male or female, since you all are one in Christ. We must allow the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, and the love of Jesus Christ to break us down, to break the walls of prejudice, to break the walls of custom, to break the walls of culture down, and to rebuild us in His image with His love. Then our prejudices that stand in our way from seeing the neighbor and those around us would be put away with. The nationality or the race of how we view others would no longer be the issue. We would no longer allow preferences to be the wall or the stumbling blocks in our life. Then we would not allow types of music, dress, or other preferences or style offend us so greatly. Then a person's economic standing, type of culture, or lack of material things would keep us from loving them the way that Christ wants them to be loved. When we choose to let the gospel work, if we endeavor to live out the proverb, then a person's look, style, past mistakes, visible tattoos, or whatever physical or material characteristics they are, will no longer be what makes us relate to them. But it will be the love that Christ has for them through us that will be what makes us relate to them. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Dr. Tony Evans, he's a nationally known Christian speaker. He's wrote over 100 books. Matter of fact, there's one sitting on my desk right now. He's a pastor. He has a radio program called The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans. He started Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas in the late 70s with 10 members in his own home. And today it has over 9,500 members. He is the chaplain for the Dallas Cowboys and the Dallas Mavericks. Baylor University named him as one of the top 12 most effective English preachers in the world. But most importantly, if you ever sit down one time and listen to Dr. Evans, you will know that he loves Christ Jesus and that the Holy Spirit dwells within him. But he had an article, and I read this weekend, and it says, not a skin problem, but a sin problem. We are all from the same root racially. God's agenda for us is that we live united with one another, both in kingdom and in culture. But when God's truth is given to sinful men, they distort it. That is true in the area of race relations, which has led to suppression of some races by other races who believe themselves to be superior. Racism is the discrimination of people based on skin color or ethnic origin. It involves the unrighteous use of power against people toward whom we harbor prejudice. which is the emotional foundation of discrimination. Racism is equally unrighteous, whether it's practiced by whites toward blacks, blacks toward Hispanics, Hispanics toward Asians, or any other combination thereof. It is an affront to the character of God, and His answer to racism is never racism in reverse. Like a cancer, the problem of racism has metastasized and invaded the very structures of American life, making the source almost impossible to trace or deal with. Every attempt to address this evil leads to the frustration of seeing it pop up somewhere else. Countless workshops, seminars, and symposiums have not led to a cure for this cultural cancer. Why has this evil been so difficult to eradicate? Because racism is not first and foremost a skin problem, it is a sin problem. See, when you believe that racism is a skin problem, you take 300 years of slavery, court decisions, marches, and the federal government involvement and still not get it fixed right. But once you admit that racism is a sin problem, you are obligated as a believer to deal with it right away. As long as the issue of race is social and not spiritual, it will never be dealt with in the ultimate sin. And then he quotes 1 John chapter 2, verse 9. The one who says he is in the light but hates his brother or sister is in darkness until now. And this is the prayer, and this is going to be our closing prayer for tonight as we go together, okay? Dear Lord, Father, create in me a heart of love for my brothers and sisters in Christ, and help me to show that love to them in ways that reflect your glory and your pleasure so that you'll be glorified. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. All right, before we close out, any thoughts tonight? All righty. God bless you, and we'll see you Sunday morning, Lord willing.